Today on Criminal Minds, we talk about the season 12 finale, replay some mind games, and Morgan comes back. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We're here doing AfterBuzz TV's Criminal Minds. It's the finale for season 12, episode 22, Red Light. Makes sense because last episode, the penultimate episode, was called Green Light, and now this episode is called Red Light. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. Joining me, I have
Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
And I'm Karina Vargas. You can find me everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at KarinaXVRGS.
And I'm Chris Howard. You can find I'm Chris Howard. Find me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent. For the finale, this is the finale episode. What were your thoughts of this? Did this live up to your expectations for like an end episode to a season?
Never let me be a psychic. I'm terrible at predictions.
Yeah, we didn't do so well, did we?
We didn't do so well.
We all sucked on the predictions.
They had some really good twists.
Mom's gonna die! I'm
not. Not yet.
Not yet.
I loved Morgan. I just wish that they kind of showed him a little bit more. I felt like it was so towards the end, but I was like, at least he got some camera time and I got to see his beautiful face.
That's right, yeah.
Now listen to that. Yeah. I gotta ask you guys a question, because you guys have been around for a while. Why does he call her Baby Girl? Hey, Baby Girl, why does he call Penelope that?
It's just their sweet things. Little nicknames they have towards each other.
So she's got a crush on him.
Well, there was an episode back in season 3 where they did a flashback of Penelope's first day at the BAU, and they couldn't remember her name. And so Morgan going up to her didn't know her name, so she's like, hey, baby girl.
Baby girl.
And it just stuck. And it just stuck. So, and then it's been the running joke between those two that she always calls him some nickname.
Like Chocolate Thunder.
Chocolate Thunder.
I mean, he is Chocolate Thunder. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that.
Okay, ladies.
But what were your thoughts on this finale?
I liked the episode. I thought it was really good. Just before we went live here, we were I said, who's the sexiest guy in the world? And you guys all said Reed in unison. And Reed did look sexy in this episode. This was his episode. He owned it. And he looked good.
For sure. I feel like this was his season. He had the biggest character story arc in this season. Yeah. Let's get into Reed, shall we? So we know Kat Adams is a part of all of this. And he has to go to the prison to talk to Kat Adams. And hence, we start this mind game. What were your thoughts on this mind game? We know that Reed has to get the answer, or like really the one question.
Figure out what's the secret.
What's the secret question?
I was afraid that like he would get the wrong answer and then she would kill his mom right away. But I mean, he did a good job playing it out.
Well, I knew that she didn't y'all know that she was planning on killing the mom one way or the other. I mean, that was kind of.
I mean,
done
I
deal.
Thought she wasn't, because I felt like Kat is that person that kind of keeps her word, and so I thought, okay, if he guesses it right, then you know she'll let her live. But towards the end, it was did not.
You can't. You never trust a woman. No, I did. That was a joke, ladies. Joke.
I thought, because Spencer cheated last time, that she was going to cheat no matter what.
Yeah.
And also, she's in prison. She was in solitary confinement, and she's nothing else to lose. And now that she's got this bombshell secret to keep her relatively safe in a prison, like, what else would she do? What would cause the ultimate torment? Letting her go or letting her die?
Yeah, I mean, that was the running question throughout this whole episode. But it was funny because I went back and rewatched Entropy episode, season 11, episode 11, I believe. It was like 11-11. Now seeing the first appearance of Kat Adams and like how the whole mind game first started between those two, and now seeing it in the finale, it parallels each other really well.
It does.
Really well. Because we got a lot of we got a lot of answers from the first time, the first go around, that really answers why we got the same thing in the second.
I kind of like missed a little bit of that. You the essence of what you got from doing that was
so the first time that Kat Adams and Reed talk in the restaurant in public in season 11. They revealed a lot of information of why Kat would do this again.
Yep.
Like, in the first time, we find out more information about the mom. Like, she was kind of, quote-unquote, interested in Reed's mother. We learn that Kat knows about his mom and condition, which, like, makes sense of why she would plot this whole thing.
So, wow, do you think that they planned it out from that far back, or do you think that they just... was the planning that in-depth, or do you think they went back and just picked it up and go, let's do something more with this?
I think it's the latter.
The latter?
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah.
Good writing, though.
It was. I mean, I feel like we got a lot of the same beats from the first conversation back in season 11 to this one. There was a lot of parallelisms.
Parallelisms.
Right. Yeah. But what were your thoughts on this imagination mind game of Cass? That's her place that she goes to when, you know, being locked up in prison. You go somewhere. That's her place.
I loved it. I thought, I think they went into that knowing, you know, this is an interrogation room scene. How can we spice it up?
Right.
And the way that they did it is kind of a realistic way. I would imagine that anyone who... stares at the same four walls and has the same routine and has absolutely no freedom or independence would imagine a place where they can live however they want to live. And she chose that crazy room of luxury, dressed very nicely. And he had the ability to go there with her because he kind of understands where she's coming from with it. And I thought that the contrast between the dark interrogation room and the bright white giant space was very... well done, and it added interest.
Mm. I know, I love that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, so that's her ultimate fantasy, to be playing it out like that and to be almost seducing him while she's torturing him. And then, do you think that Reed, when he was in that interrogation, did the fact that he had been in prison, did that bring a different quality or texture to his experience there, or his negotiation tactics?
I think so. I mean, I think also the fact when he yelled at Kat so hard where, like, he lost it, I was like, oh my gosh, like, he gave Kat what she wanted from him, and I felt like he obviously had the right to react that way because of everything she was telling him, and, you know, his time in prison, like, it changed him, so...
Yeah, I think definitely more depth to his character because he is, like, more experienced now. And you know that he can go to a dark place.
Side,
Like, he has that darkness within him that he's willing to go to. He doesn't want to, but he could go to, like, dark lanes like that, like strangling her.
How cool is that when she says, when JJ says he may say things that... That are going to surprise you or shock you, and he's dancing with her, and he's like, "I chose the way that was most painful because I knew that's what I wanted." And
well, even before that, what did you think of the scheme that Kat's saying that they're pregnant together? Did you believe this? First of all, first question: did you believe?
She's not the first girl who said this to a guy. Yeah, no.
I was starting to. For a second, I was starting to think that that was what happened because it kind of made sense to use it when he was so drugged up, you know, and thinking that it was, what was his girlfriend's
Maeve.
Name? Maeve. To kind of trick him into that, I thought, well, I mean, it's a possibility. You never
it know. Made perfect sense. It's like, why wouldn't it be done? Uh-huh. And he looked like he was having memories of it.
Yeah.
Didn't it seem like
he
was...
gaslighting memories more. Definitely. Yes. I don't really think they're memories. They're just, like, gaslighting.
Yeah.
I think because she was saying all those things, like, exactly what, like, everything that happened, that's why I felt like he was kind of just picturing it, but it wasn't.
And what might have really worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was much more realistic that the guard got her pregnant.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
We still don't know, do we?
Yeah. No, we do.
No, yeah, we do.
We?
It was Wilkins.
Did they confirm that?
Yeah, they confirmed it. But we've been speculating for a good while
that he had something going on.
There was some of the guards were shady, and we found out it is that Wilkins guy.
He was that guard who refused to let him go.
Yeah.
Right from the very beginning when he put him in the other.
We said it. Yeah.
We
called
it. That's the only prediction.
We got one thing right. Yeah.
We did not trust Wilkins. Yeah, I did like that tie-in. But it was just really kind of surprising, and we'll get to the BA, but BAU unit. But when they found out that was their missing link, we're like, dude, we called it. How did you kind of
announce
it?
Yeah, why didn't they call us?
Yeah, no, seriously. But I was also thinking about it, how they would miss it. They didn't ever really go to the prison and see how Wilkins treated Reed. We did. The audience did.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it's that dramatic irony that I think the show did so well.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah.
All over it.
Yeah, but I think that the exchange and just reading his delicate state, mental state right now, and how he was still able to play this game, mental game with her, I thought was fantastic. Especially his rebukes back to her. It's like, you're not psychologically fit to be a mother.
Oh, I know.
I was like, yeah, you tell her.
Right, that was a little harsh.
Well, it was harsh, but I loved it.
But no,
it's
great.
The thing was, it wasn't coming from a vicious place. I'm sure there was a vicious feeling behind it because of the current situation, but he even made it out, like he clearly stated, this isn't anything against you. This is a fact about your genetic makeup. You are incapable of these feelings.
You literally do not have the emotional skills to care for another human being.
He said that to another prisoner before, where he's talked about their psychological makeup to their face, and it wasn't personal. But it's very hard not to take that personally.
I think you need to write that down. That's a good script for any kind of divorce or anything like that. Okay, well, I'm just joking, ladies.
Well, I think it was really smart that he can like still keep her at bay mentally, being like, oh, you want a family with me, but you can't. Mentally, you can't.
Yeah, you're not going to have it. Even if you, got me, you don't have me.
Yeah, I thought that was, I was like, oh, dig, but it's a sweet burn. I enjoyed it. But, okay, so we find out with, you know, all of Kat's games and stuff, this simultaneously we have Lindsay Vonn, the person who's actually outside the prison, kind of, you know, pulling strings physically. What did you think of Prentice putting out the Amber Alert?
I was just thinking about
to
that.
To find her.
It was effective.
Yeah, it was effective.
I don't mind. I think like that's not the kind of infraction that really bothers me. I understand why people would be up in arms if they found out, and why you had to put color within the rules. But that was, or color within the lines. Yes,
color within the lines.
You know what I'm trying to say. But there were a couple of incidents like that we noticed where they were constrained by the rules. They were constrained. They couldn't go and talk to the prisoners that they wanted to interview. And then there's this other thing of, you know, the Amber Alert. So I think that's good. It brings some realism and grittiness to the show. It shows you what the limitations are, and there are limitations. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that, you know, they can run wherever they want to run, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, and you're talking about limitations and all the red tape that they all had to go through to, you know, get all this stuff done. And even Prentice, we've seen in the past few episodes, she's kind of bent some of the rules and pulled some strings here and there to do things. But do you think all these actions that Prentice is doing, first, awesome girl boss, like, get it, woman. Prentice doing all this, she is in a position of authority, and her bending some of these rules, do you think that will come into play? Will that be like a further issue?
I think there's some rules that need to be bent, but
yeah, I think so too. I don't think they'll probably touch on that.
Oh, I disagree. I think that there has been a significant lack of oversight. That support character that's higher up that always looked over Hotch, really. Like, we had that for Hotch, and then Hotch left, and there's been no oversight for Prentice, and she has been skirting some fine lines of the law.
So you think she might, it's going to come, chickens are going to come home to roost.
I think, do you think this is going to be a future problem?
Yeah. I think it's going to come back to bite her in the butt in some way, not a serious
like
way.
Trump's going to fire her. Sorry, ladies. I'm sorry. It's just topical. No.
I mean, it's interesting because I did read in another article that made me think about it, because Hotch was very by the rules and Prentice isn't really. I mean, we know that Prentice, especially when she, you know, back in season 6, that she was able to, you know, go undercover and play a little dirty to catch people.
Yep.
But Hotch wasn't really like that, but Prentice is.
Yeah.
It makes for completely different dynamics when you're leading a team.
Yeah, and we really have no idea how she operated in Interpol, so they could have completely...
Oh, we could have some cool... We could have a big storyline that comes out from that, you know?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be interesting.
Scratch is abroad.
He is abroad.
Last reports.
Interpol could come into play. That's definitely... a future storyline that we could
or Criminal Minds Beyond Borders.
Oh yeah. Yeah, have another crossover, why not? Yes, but we got Lindsay and that poor guy at the gas station.
Yeah.
First of all, you get back into your truck and then you make a call to 911.
And you don't turn your back on the person.
You also don't tell people to smile because they don't owe you that.
That bugs me. Oh, come on. Smile, Michelle.
It doesn't cost anything. Yeah. Well, it does. It costs your life.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Shooting him point blank.
Sorry, that was aggressive. Just respect other human beings. But it's also don't be a psychopath that shoots people.
Okay, those are the two rules we're going to take.
The easy life lessons that are takeaway for free.
Takeaway from this episode.
From me to you.
We learn something every day. I felt bad for him. You know, like, he did help, despite the fact he just got shot, you know, and he was only on screen for a minute, but he did help get the whereabouts of Lindsay, which we needed. Thank you, Amber Alert. They do come in handy. You know, we can find people in missing occasions, such as this. But poor Diana, stuck in her truck. Or, like, in the trunk, sorry.
Yeah.
In the trunk.
But she has memory issues anyway. She'll forget about it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay.
She's still a human being.
I'm just trying to bring a little levity to the show.
We saw Diana at the beginning of the episode alive. Did you...
Number two.
Yeah. There we go. That's the second one. Did you, throughout the whole episode, think that she was going to stay alive, or were they actually going to kill her?
I still thought she was going to die.
I thought she was
going to
die, too.
All of us did. So weird.
I don't know. Kind of not. I don't know. I was, like, in the middle because of everything you guys were telling me. And I was like, I don't want to believe. I was like, I don't want to believe that she's going to die. So I was hopeful that she wasn't going to. So
yeah. Jane Lynch could come back.
I know. We love Jane Lynch. I felt bad for Diana, though, being stuck in that trunk. Not going. We didn't really see her throughout the whole episode. Mm-hmm. We only saw her at the beginning and at the end. I thought she was going to play a bigger part into, like, coercing Reed to do something against his will, like Kat was actually going to use her for leverage for something.
And she's such a great actress, you know, so the underutilized but poignant.
Yeah, yeah.
It could also be that she was only available like one day,
right,
of filming, so they had to get both the nighttime car scene and the end scene in there. I'm not even sure if she was the one who was tossed on the bed because that person was covered in blanket.
Right? Yeah. Probably not.
She might have been busy that day.
Why not?
That might have been a stunt double.
Probably not. No, I mean, to make a cameo, that's still a cool thing to do. Oh, it adds the star prestige and all that to the episode.
Well, we had the BAU team. They were, you know, throughout this whole episode being awesome, as always. They're trying to find the crossover between... What's the difference? What's the similarities? The overlap of each prison. Let's find the weak link between Lindsay and Kat. Did you think they were ever romantically involved?
I did.
You did?
When they went to visit the guy from the gun shop.
The gun shop.
And he said something, I forgot what he said, something like, I don't judge people that they love. I was like, that's the connection. From that line, I knew.
Yeah.
I figured it out, too. I don't judge folks by who they love, either. I was like, oh, that's an interesting wording.
Yep. Right. I knew something was up. I didn't put the two girls together at that point, but I knew it was an unusual relationship from his perspective.
Yeah. Did you buy this relationship, though?
No. They didn't really sell it, did they?
No. Well, and psychopaths are incapable of love.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We learned this in depth with Frank.
Yes, that's very, very true. I mean, it was an interesting tie-in for both of them to make sense because we were racking all last episode. Like, how do they even know each other? Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just romantically accept it, move on.
Psychopaths attract, you know, it's like birds of a feather.
Flock together, yeah. I think so, too. But I think it's more so the reason why I didn't buy it is because we didn't see those two together on screen enough for me to believe that there was a relationship there.
Yeah.
That they would go through a year and a half of planning and set Reed up just because they were romantically involved and wanted revenge.
And did they ever mention how they met?
No, they didn't.
See, that's another reason why I was like, well, how did they meet, first of all? Like, they didn't give us any backstory on that. So.
And we still don't know. I mean, Scratch could have been involved someplace. Because, I mean, they did bring him into the episode. So it's mm-hmm. it's possible that there could have been some kind of involvement.
Interesting.
Possible.
Yeah. So once they went to the Ford's gun shop, I figured that out. Yeah. I was like, no, they got to be lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But apparently in this episode, everything was wrong with that. So like, but that's the big reveal. Because we now know that Kat was not as faithful to Lindsay. Which everything just goes downhill from here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lindsay didn't like that.
Yeah. I mean, Kat was impregnated by Wilkins and therefore, like, literally diffuses the whole plan. did you think that this revealed that the unfaithfulness was enough to stop these two from doing what they actually originally had planned?
Yeah, I mean, there's what do they say? Hell hath no
fury
like a woman scorned. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Well, huh. We got that out correct.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, and for Kat, this was personal, and for Lindsay, it was only personal because it affected Kat. And once Kat pulled a dick move, it was like, fine, I'm out. Like, I'm good.
Are you saying the lesbian pulled a dick move? Is what you're saying?
Yep.
And I also felt that Lindsay loved Kat. And then Kat loved Reed. So it's like Kat, I didn't see if maybe Kat loved Lindsay. That way Lindsay stopped the bomb or whatever because she wasn't faithful.
Well, you get the sense that Kat was using Lindsay more than anything. Yeah.
See, like, I'm not sure if Kat was in love with Reed. I think she was in love with the idea that she could have been with Reed and they could have been a good couple. Mm-hmm. Not really love Reed himself, but the idea of those two.
I think there's an infatuation, like an obsession of infatuation that's definitely there. That's
because she's had nothing to do but brood over the fact that Reed put her away a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
and that Reed was the one who finally caught her, and she'd been doing it for so many years. And
see, that's why I wouldn't be surprised if she had impregnated herself from him. I mean, that would have been. That would have been ultimate torture. So,
if that would have been convenient, but the idea of Lindsay getting the sperm from Mexico safely back
from a drugged guy who Washington, probably
DC or wherever the prison actually is. I don't actually know if it's in DC.
It's close enough.
And then getting Wilkins to be able to successfully get a nurse or someone to put it up there.
Right.
And then see if it takes. Like, it's just so much easier for Wilkins to do the nasty.
Yeah. I believe
the professional terminology. Right.
Do the nasty.
I believe that Kat, her prison was in either Iowa. It was a Midwestern state. I want to say it was Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah, see, they can do that in Iowa.
Oh my god. I thought that whole twisted notion of the fact that Kat could have sent Lindsay down to Mexico just to get Reed's semen, just to impregnate her. Ew.
So gross.
Nasty. Yeah. Even Prentice is like, are you kidding me?
Oh, she's capable of it.
She's twisted enough.
I did love that. Can you take me off speaker?
That's one of those things where it's like, oh, I wish I would have done that. She probably does wish, you know? It's like, dang, if I could have done that, that would have been great.
I mean, this show would have gone to a whole nother level of darkness.
That was cool, though. There was possibility in that. So,
but then what were they going to do with the child? Like, what if when they was born? Like,
right.
So crazy.
Speaking of born, did you notice on the list of all Kat's medical records and stuff, it said expected date was November 15, 2017. So it would have been future.
Oh, weird. Yeah. They're in the future.
So I'm just trying to figure out the actual timeline.
The timeline for that.
They're in the future in relationship to us?
No.
Her
due date would have been November.
November 15th, 2017. Wow.
That would have been in February, baby.
Yeah.
Right, that makes it a Pisces?
They said 3 months ago because they were doing the timeline. They're like, it matches up to when you were in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, that's twisted. That's so
sick. That is twisted. See, I still, when did they prove that it wasn't his?
When they figured out it was Wilkins who was helping her.
I know they figured that out, but that's just what Reed put out there.
Yeah, that is definitive proof on
it.
There's still a dangling possibility that they should leave that open a little.
I think that added to the whole gaslighting. No way is it possible.
Right.
Yeah. It just didn't make sense. But, I mean, in theory, it could have worked out.
Right.
But it was just too far out there. that.
Yeah, but you'd have to wonder if somebody was incapacitated like he was, if she would even be able to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting now knowing Lindsay left the message XX-XY
right.
on behalf of Kat for Reed.
Yeah.
Clearly didn't know what it meant.
Now, wait a second. Now, that is interesting. Because if she left that message, she was planning the whole pregnancy thing back then.
Yep.
It was. And, you know, it's funny. I'm really glad I rewatched Entropy because Kat, in that episode, said chromosomal signs.
Yep.
She literally said the word chromosomal
signs. So I think there's a possibility. I think we haven't closed that loop yet. Because why would she leave that there if that wasn't really what she did?
I don't know. I think it was just her way of taunting him. The fact that she's pregnant, it could either be a boy or a girl.
Do you think for that twisted girl that she would just taunt him and say, oh, I'm pregnant with it, like lead him on when she actually had the ability and she was thinking about it at the moment of leading him on? You don't think she would have made the choice to just do it?
I don't want to think about that.
Okay, all right.
I still stand by what I say.
Okay.
It would have been really, really, really difficult.
Okay, my prediction for next season is that it's really his.
No, I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to... Nope.
All right.
Nope. And Wilkins died. He was shot point blank as well.
With a hollow point.
God,
I love consistency.
That's definitely her M.O. The takedown was nice, though. I was like, it was more smooth than I thought it was actually going to be.
Yeah.
Hence, thank you to technology with the whole FaceTime and get the actual real-time reveal.
Mm.
I liked it.
But they were FaceTiming a security camera, so it was hacked in through Penelope somehow.
Yeah. She's so good.
It was fascinating. And there was a weird, it looked cool on the phone. It was just an aesthetic thing to me where it zoomed in on Kat's face really close and then it was back to the normal room size. And it's like, that's an interrogation room camera. That doesn't have zoom. It's not a feature. Unless Penelope's sitting there, like, I want to look at her face.
Zoom. Who knows? I mean, Garcia's capable of it.
She is. Especially someone who hurts Reed. She's going to be like, I want to see your face.
Yeah. Like, I got you. Got you on candid camera now.
Shift plus.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of time.
Plus. I did like the reveal. I thought it was I felt it was too simple because watching this so-called takedown of Lindsay at the end, I was like, oh, we're only 45 minutes in. We still have another 15 minutes. What else is there to come? Mm-hmm. We have Morgan. Morgan comes back. Yeah. Aw, Derek. We missed him.
What a beautiful human.
Yes. What were your thoughts of his return? Did you enjoy it for the short amount of time he was on screen?
I did.
Mm-hmm. I did, too. I just wish it was longer, like I said.
Yeah.
And I wish he kind of had a little bit more part in Reed's storyline. I don't know, somehow try to help them as well and not kind of it just be about Scratch or him kind of coming, this is a message I got. I wish he was more... I wish he took part
active,
in it.
Yeah.
Well, they did explain
valid reason why
he
can't,
didn't,
yeah.
because
yeah.
they purposely kept him out of the loop. Reed didn't have him on the visiting. Like, they didn't want
to. He's a private citizen.
His personal life.
Yep.
He's a civilian now. He deserves privacy.
Well, I'm just sad that the only reference of him and Reed seeing each other was him being like, I'm going to bring breakfast to him. And we didn't actually get to see it before the season ended. Because their reunion would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been
because he saw everybody except for Reed.
Yep.
Except for Reed. But what did you think of the reunion between Morgan and Penelope Garcia? Aww. So sweet.
I just love their dynamic. You can tell that they're really amazing friends outside of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reads on screen so amazingly.
You smell like hope and happiness. I enjoyed it.
I even loved the last part when she was just looking out when he left. And then they looked.
I hate when you leave, but I love to watch you go.
She's very cute. That. She's got this cute, great character.
Yeah, I really liked it because you know it felt like a hello goodbye kind of scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was the last time we ever saw those two on camera together,
it was well done.
It could have been a full arc to their friendship.
Yep.
Yeah. Like and it's like I love you. I'm proud of you. And now I'm just gonna go home to my family.
Yeah. And I do love the plug for Alves. Like, could you try to
be that was funny.
A little like nicer too. To him?
What'd she say? It's complicated or something?
It's complicated. Yeah. So proud of you. I love you always. Go save some lives, baby girl.
Baby girl.
Shoot. They are great. The relationship, you know, we've seen it for 12 years now. Yep. We didn't really see it so much this season. We know that they truly care for each other. Every time they call each other on the phones and stuff, they always have that sweet exchange that they're truly, genuinely looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. And we got it once again in this. Minnie walked away. Fun, cute, blowing kisses to each other.
Yeah.
I think this is what every fan of Morgan and Penelope together wanted. Like, that was an ode to them.
Yeah.
More so. I enjoyed it. But we send the BAU team out to this fake location, safe house, and their cars get road spiked. What did you think of this?
I mean...
Well, it's obvious that he was ready for them to have found out the truth.
Like, it's a trap.
He's always five steps ahead. So they're like, we have SWAT looking. We've inspected this. No one's going to set foot. He plans traps for his traps. And then the spikes come out on the road on this automated. They probably hit a sensor. Right. It was like, okay, I'm going to snap too. I don't think the semi-truck was planned, though. I think that was just...
What the hell?
That was just terrible timing.
Oh, really?
I don't think Scratch could control the semi-truck.
Oh, you don't think he was... I thought he was driving it. I thought that was...
I think the semi-truck was actually...
Part of the trap.
Yeah, part of it, totally.
He wouldn't be driving it, though.
Because that hit them pretty...
Because here.
Yeah, I was like, if a semi... If, like, any random civilian driving that semi-truck saw that there was enough time for that truck to stop, that was a purpose on...
And on point, with a lot of velocity, it's hard to think that... I mean, if that really happened, it's hard to think that there would really be survivors or that they'd be in good shape if they survived.
And I think maybe Scratch gassed the guy that was driving and made him kind of
do that.
That's
possible.
That's part of his MO and everything, so...
One of them got hit a little bit. And then the other one got hit full on. Full Who was on. In that passenger seat?
Okay,
Prentice was in there.
It was Prentice, Rossi, and Tara. They were the second car that got hit, but they got the full blunt of the truck. And Prentice is at the window. Like, literally, she's the one who gets the full impact. It's like she's been in a truck car. You know, like, a truck has hit her before. She'll be fine. But, I mean, I'm worried. I was like, well, another truck? Come on. Yeah. But she got the full impact of it. Like,
take out
very
the leadership.
Very rarely would someone actually survive that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to explain that away. Because, I mean, that's, what, they're all going to walk out unscathed? I don't think so.
They're all at least going to be in the first episode because it was reported that they would all be returning for season 13.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And I know
how
to hold a grudge.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, well, they said that everybody was coming back, so nobody's going to die.
At least at first.
Yeah, we didn't get a death in this episode, but it was.
Well, we got two. The dude at the gas station. And Wilkins.
People died
in this episode.
But they gave us a good cliffhanger.
Yeah. Did you enjoy this cliffhanger? Impact. I mean, it's such a recurring trope in television shows for like some type of car accident or vehicle collision as a cliffhanger.
A recurring trope. I've never heard that.
Oh yeah.
A trope.
It's just a trope. That's pretty redundant.
What are the past season finales like again? I'm trying so hard to
remember. Well, this just reminded me of season 3's finale when there was that whole montage shot of every agent's getting into an FBI government vehicle. Yeah. And then there was an explosion and you don't know which agent
it was. Oh, that's such a sad
episode. And that one's the one with Hodge that he was the one else. See, I don't know. This season finale, I felt like it kind of did remind me of that. It kind of brought an element of it happened already, and since I know that everybody's coming back, I kind of wish that they would have done something a little bit more, kind of a cliffhanger for Scratch instead of the whole team, which...
You get a point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I have to say, if I'm honest, that I enjoyed some of the prison episodes even more than I enjoyed the finale. So the finale, I thought, wrapped the loop well, but it wasn't my favorite of like the last three or four episodes. Yeah. The ones before that, I think it's just been such a good build up that I just saw this more as a...
Yeah, and that's interesting because we don't even know if this was Scratch. It could be someone completely different because that's not Scratch's MO to spike vehicles, you know, like spike the tires. cars and and run trucks into them. That's not his thing.
And to be fair, I don't think they rounded up all of the prisoners that escaped at the end of last season.
No, they haven't. There's like four.
They kind of like they started catching them, and then it just went away for a couple episodes, and then Spencer went to prison, and we had our new arc for the second half of the season. But that random middle, I was like, wait, what? Why are we done? Why are we done catching the bad guys that got out?
So yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. We don't know if this is even scratching part of this whole
because we were so hung situation. Up on Scratch this entire season.
I know.
They still really technically hasn't been part of it.
And now I wonder if next season, if all of it is going to be about Scratch.
Peter Lewis.
Well, I do have something in news, but just a little bit.
Do you have a profile?
No, I don't. I have news instead. But I have an awesome prediction that I'm going to throw out there. I hope they're all alive, because literally when I watched this episode, I yelled out loud, no! Like, what? No! Like, because I was more so worried for Prentice, because she got the
full blast.
The full blunt of that impact. That it did not look good. I'm like, again? Come on. Mm-hmm. She's pissed. Or she will be, you know.
When she wakes up again.
Like, again?
When she comes out of a coma.
I got hit by a truck again. I hope everyone survives, though. Pretty sure
most of them are going to the first episode.
I know. No,
I mean, that
I
would make the most sense.
I know.
It would make the most sense. I know that those are like armor plated SUVs, but still, that's a semi.
Yeah. That no, that was a semi. There was no escaping that.
Semi went boom.
Shoot. Overall, it left us on a cliff note and a cliffhanger, and then Diana didn't die. So,
Diana did not die.
I feel bad. We've been predicting her death for a while now.
I finally came to grips with it last episode, and it was wrong.
We were wrong.
Sorry,
they might have changed the script because of us.
I feel like
we're like, she's going to die. They're like, okay, change it.
Yeah.
I was finally
changing it and reshoot right now.
Let her live.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she survives, but maybe later she might die. Who knows? Just due to health issues.
I kept thinking of that. I kept thinking that she'd say, oh, it's so good to be back. And then she'd walk out and then fall over from a health issue or something. And it was like, no. And then I thought, that can't happen. That can't happen.
Yeah, like, I'd be okay with her character's death due to her just deteriorating mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I'd be okay.
That's more
that
acceptable than at the hands of a serial killer or a murderer.
Less traumatic.
Yeah. Or at the hands of the crazy psychopath. Bitches that we just had.
Marissa.
Just saying. All right. Anything else about this episode? Anything you liked, disliked? It was pretty solid.
I love Reed's character. I love the actor. I think, I mean, not in an unusual way, but I think he's fantastic, and I thought I really appreciated it. Mm-hmm. He does. He's got a great look and a great feel, and I love the whole psychological side is sexy. You know, there's an appeal to it. There's a charisma to it that I enjoyed. And I enjoyed his whole character arc this season. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
How about you?
I love the episode. I didn't so much love the ending, the cliffhanger of it, but overall I think I got a good amount of answers for for it being a season finale.
You got your money's worth?
Not that much.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Did you enjoy it?
I concur. I ultimately enjoyed it. I do think I enjoyed Green Light better than Red Light.
Yeah,
and this isn't my favorite season finale, but it's also not my least favorite.
Yeah. I think Green Light did such a great job of leading us up
to this
us
moment.
Getting answers.
Yeah.
Like, Green Light was literally the anticipation building, and
like
I think that's why it
everything
so
you've thought is wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything was like shock after shock after shock.
You're like, what?
When they kicked it into high gear with the script and putting him in prison, you know, we know that that did something incredible for the show, because the ratings went up and more. There, you know, all the viewers were out there watching it and stuff, and it grabbed people that it didn't usually grab. And I have to say that it really pulled me in more than at any other time when I was watching it. So they did some really good writing, and you know, kudos to the team.
I agree. It was a very fresh take, because almost everyone's been kidnapped, but this is the first time someone's really gone to prison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, very true. All right, so I do have a little bit of news for
half
after
this particular episode. Erica Messer, who is the executive producer and showrunner of this show. TV Guide is actually a really good interview with TV Guide. They asked her all about like the season and this particular finale, and they asked her why did they decide on doing a cliffhanger, and she said that they felt like they earned the right to do a proper cliffhanger this year of all years. She says, we started kicking around and pitching it to the studio and the network, and they loved it, so they went with it. And they probably decided that they didn't like make the full decision until February this year that they were going to go with the cliffhanger, and then they actually shot it.
Don't they do that every season? They don't do a cliffhanger every season?
Not every. No. There's been some episodes that have actually tied. Tied everything together. But yeah, they made the decision back in February, and they shot the finale in March. So not that long ago. Very true to the production schedule. And the writers of, and people are wondering if everyone's going to survive, the writers of this show, Criminal Minds, they start back up on June 5th, and that's the first topic that they have to, you know, cover if after the accident, if everyone's surviving.
I wonder if that's a burning question for them.
Critical. You know, it's a burning question for all of us.
Did it knock somebody off or not?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, everyone returning next season, we did have that. Confirmed that they are. So, yay. People survive, at least for the most part.
At least for one episode.
At least for one episode. And only because they said in the negotiation when they were... sometimes they've actually started writing for the next season when they don't even have the actors fully back on board yet. But usually they're in a good negotiation state that they're confident that they'll come back, so they already...
Got it.
They already write the
So you don't want to put too much power in the actors' hands. Right time, right place.
Like sometimes they actually write the episodes before they get the confirmation that they're actually coming back.
A little strategy there.
Yeah. And they're going to question if Reed gets fully reinstated back into the BAU. And we're like, yeah, that'll probably happen. And the Scratch storyline. So we were all questioning... if Scratch is going to be another big part of next season. Mm-hmm. And because season 13 has a full 22-episode order, at the end of 22, they'll be at the complete total episode count of 299. Oh. So literally, they have one more episode to get to 300. So they're wondering if they should hold that off until season 14.
Oh.
So like maybe that could be the big... episode build up to episode 300, which would technically be in season 14.
Interesting. Wow.
So there will be a season 14.
They're very confident. Huh? I love it.
We don't know. They said questioning if Scratch should be wrapped up in next
14 seasons. They've got some loyal viewers, you know.
Well, they do. I mean, I feel like a lot of shows are crossing that 12-year mark.
True.
Now.
True.
Well, and police dramas do exceptionally well.
Yeah. I mean, procedural shows like this do exceptionally well. I mean, look at Law and Order.
I was going to say, I think the original like Law and Order has been on over 20 years. And SVU is on season 17.
Yeah.
NCIS.
Oh, NCIS, yep. CSI, all these procedural shows do really well. So I'm not too worried about this one.
Yeah, me neither.
Look how excited you are.
I'd be okay with watching this for another few seasons.
Twist my arm.
So it's still up in the air. They said they're definitely going to write more Scratch episodes, but they don't know if they should wrap his story up early in season 13 or actually wait to season 14 to episode 300.
Interesting.
To finish him out. That's all I have.
I like that.
Glad you're excited.
the interesting, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but this episode only had one quote. If there was a quote at the beginning, there's no quote at the end.
Yeah.
Because it was a cliffhanger, we don't
Interesting.
Know.
It's like, what quote do you use for a cliffhanger?
You don't. Apparently, you don't. But, all right, so that brings us to predictions, then.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, predictions, you guys.
It's his baby.
No, it's not
his baby. It's Reed's baby.
It's not his baby. He is not the baby daddy.
He's the baby daddy.
See that, but my prediction, I'm predicting that next season hopefully they will wrap up with Scratch, and I am hoping, this is more of a hope, not a prediction, but I hope that they kind of do more of a storyline for Prentice, knowing that she's back, that she's there full time now. So maybe, like you were saying, that she's in a coma, and I'm like, well, maybe something could happen there. So,
I'm going to speculate, not predict, that Derek Morgan maybe might come back for one or two episodes, because I feel like it wouldn't be in his character makeup to leave everyone in the hospital because they just got hit by a semi. So, yeah, though nothing has been confirmed, he hasn't talked about... I think he alluded to never shutting the door on Derek Morgan. And I feel like it makes sense that he would stay for support, and that Savannah and Hank would come to visit to be there for his other family, really. I will also speculate that at some point Spencer's going to take a break. I think much like when he was addicted to opioids. Thank you so much. That's a hard word to say.
When he was druggy,
he's taken various breaks throughout the shows because Matthew Greg Goobler is working on different projects outside of Criminal Minds, and I feel like it would make sense for his character if he tried to come back to the BAU and then his mom worsened and he was like, you know what, I need time for me. I promised her I would never leave her. I want to spend time with her, and he was maybe gone for half of it.
Yeah, like he took a sabbatical.
Feel like that's a plausible storyline. I don't know that it'll happen, but it makes sense.
That could even be a possible ending to Diana's story.
Yeah, like she passes peacefully, spending time with her son in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like they go home.
Mm-hmm. Why do we think we got to get rid of Reed again?
I don't necessarily.
Well, he's tied to Diana.
I think it would make sense for his character to do that, and just from previous seasons, like, I can't speak for Matthew's schedule in the slightest. but he takes on a lot of independent projects. Not a lot, but he's done it a couple times where he's gone about 6 or 7 episodes.
Got it.
And then comes
back.
Yeah. It was interesting because you said about schedules, also with Shamar Moore's schedule. When they filmed this finale episode, they only had Shamar Moore for one day, so hence he only had like 2 scenes with him, only because of his schedule. And he was also simultaneously about to start filming the pilot for SWAT. So literally they only had him for one day, so for the small amount of time we got him, it made an impact emotionally. Okay, so my prediction, it's kind of a cool one. So the FBI, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the FBI agent who told Morgan that, who told Prentice that Morgan is in his office, they lingered on him a little too long.
Oh, really?
They did. It was a weird look.
Yeah. They lingered on him a little too long. And I'm like, who is this guy? Could he be working with Scratch? Could he be Scratch? I mean, we kind of know what Scratch looks like. But Scratch could have done a face operation, whatever. But I figured...
Interesting. I missed that. I totally missed that.
This was also at the same time where they're figuring out that fake text message, and then they act, the whole BAU team leaves. Mm-hmm. I figured that could be, like, literally a goose chase to get the BAU
out
while he's there literally at Quantico.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because they've been wondering where he is, and we thought maybe he was in prison, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we don't. Well, he's been like traveling abroad, like as a fugitive.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that FBI agent, they
lingered.
They stayed on him a little too long. And I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah, they wanted you to do that, you know.
Oh, yeah, who is this guy? But it'd be cool because the BAU team is like literally physically away from Quantico now at the FBI headquarters, and he's there.
And just the fact that he was working actually inside there, you know, that he had penetrated.
He could be the guy. Yeah, he could be the guy. Yeah, because they said
Wilkins, he's got to be working with somebody inside.
Yeah, they figured out.
Oh no, that was
Wilkins.
On the prison.
Yeah, Wilkins was working with someone.
He had it because they had his FBI file.
Yeah, Wilkins had the FBI file from someone who's working in the bureau, and Prentice even said someone who's not going to be working in the bureau that much longer. He could be it.
Oh
yes.
Now wait a second though. So then that would be not. That's part of Kat's plan.
Yeah, but Kat's still alive. Because Wilkins could still be conspiring.
Right, so this could have been a larger plan of Kat's to take them all out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why Scratch may be still involved someplace with this.
Yeah, because Kat and Lindsay also knew Scratch's M.O., so it's like right. still up in the air.
He's the puppet master.
The Bureau Mole.
All I can say is if there is not an epic conclusion to Mr. Scratch, I'm going to be so pissed.
Goodness. But yeah, that's that FBI agent. He's shady. He's a shady one. I don't like him.
He could be the accomplice.
He could be Wilkins' accomplice. Part of all this, he's the one who will get fired. Or more so killed, probably. Knowing the run with the show.
Well, no, Reed now. When Reed exacts his revenge, he's going to make it painful.
You'll probably die.
Yeah.
Overall, this was a great season to talk about. Season 12, I'm so excited for the SAFTA show. Obviously, we love Criminal Minds. It's been fun talking all season long. In the meantime, where can everyone keep following me?
Reach out at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KarinaXVRGS.
And you can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms. At AfterBuzzTV, keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We have season 13. Yes.
Yay.
We have a whole summer to wait for these guys to come back. Find out if they survived. Find out if this FBI dude is a mole.
He's a mole.
Who knows? I think he is. He's a shady dude.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in all season long. We have fun, and hopefully we'll see you next season. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.